1320 WILS. I'm Michael Cohen. Thanks for joining us. So one of the biggest hits of the year is are these things called fidget spinners. In fact, Forbes names the gadget the must-have office toy of 2017, and it's big in schools, too. In fact, some manufacturers claim that it helps ease symptoms of ADHD and anxiety for kids with autism, for example. Well, a man that's been studying this long before the fidget spinners came around is Dr. Roland Rotz. He's a licensed child and adult psychologist, director of the Lifespan Development Center in Carpinteria, California, and he's a nationally recognized expert in ADD. His book is Fidget to Focus, Outwit Your Boredom, Sensory Strategies for Living with ADD. Dr. Rotz, great to have you on 1320 WILS.
Nice to be here with you, Mike.
Yeah,
pleasure. What can I do for you?
Well, you were studying fidgeting. How long ago was that when you first looked into this?
Oh, my gosh. We published our book in 2005, and I had been talking about it for about 5 to 10 years before that.
Wow.
So that was the very early days of just even understanding this notion of fidgeting.
Yeah. And what did you think when you suddenly see this fidget toy just blowing up the way it is now?
In a way, there's a part that doesn't surprise me, but what has surprised me is how pervasive it is. It's weird. You know, my book was all about ADHD, and when you really look at this from a broader perspective, there are many people who find themselves bored and you know, experiencing tedium, and so they're wanting something to do with their hands. So.
Now, what exactly happens when you're fidgeting? Let's say you're playing with a spinner. What's occurring in your brain?
Well, it depends upon what the needs are. But I would say it like this, that every one of us, you know, has a need to adapt what we would call our arousal system. You know, we have a certain level of focus in our life. So sometimes after you have lunch, okay, you have to retool and kind of energize and, you know, get your senses up and working. And so that's an up arousal kind of component. There are times when we're, you know, overstimulated, and so we try to reduce that stimulation. So what we theorized was that when someone like folks with ADHD who have a neurological understimulation in particular parts of their brain, we believe that what these spinners may be doing or other fidget strategies is that it is actually stimulating them during a particularly boring event.
Okay, and that's what reduces the anxiety, basically?
It can reduce anxiety. It can increase focus. You know, it can help regulate that sensory system so that we're feeling more, you know, like in tune with what our surroundings are at the time.
I see. Now, Now you're a psychologist yourself. You spend hours listening to people talk, right?
Yeah.
And now, I'm wondering, do you fidget yourself or do anything like that to get through that? Or?
Well, truth be told, I do have ADHD, and my favorite fidget is clicking of a pen. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, that doesn't work for my clients, right? Because as we call that, you know, like a unsuccessful fidget, in part because, you know, we're really kind of making noise for someone else where it may be actually the perfect rhythm and the perfect stimulant that my brain is needing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use something like a paperclip and just, you know, just very casually and indiscreetly be bending that.
Now, when you look at, when you wrote the book, this was before the spinners, what kind of fidgeting were you recommending back then?
Oh, my gosh. There are all kinds of, you know, fidgets that people just often use naturally without even knowing it. For example, some of the examples that would start to come forward from our groups that we would do are things like chewing gum. Just rhythmic oral motor chewing provides a background stimulant. I'd have teachers giving those sour, lemon sours to children before exams, or give them gum before exams because they said the kids just focused better they were doing that. We're seeing a lot of movement to stand up while reading, while doing work at a desk, things like that. And what we know is just the action of standing, slightly swaying, pacing, running, walking around, becomes kind of a background fidget. Another one that's really popular is doodling, but it's not in the way most people think about doodling. Doodling, from a fidgeting point of view, is rapid, repetitive movement. So what the study showed was just an actual rhythmic filling in of blank areas, like a star, a square, a triangle, things like that, as opposed to actually drawing something.
In fact, it's funny because I doodle while I do interviews a lot of times as I'm listening. And what is that doing? Because I seem to be able to listen more calmly while I'm doodling. Why do you think that is?
Well, the suggestion would be that your calmness comes from your improved focus. So what it's doing is it's simultaneously using, let's say, a visual motor event or just a motor event where you're doing rapid rhythmic stimulation activity, like in doodling or playing with something, while you're listening in a conversation. And it may be that you've done this 1,000 times, and so it's very automatic for you, and so you're just waiting to get to the perhaps even the next question kind of a thing. So again, taking that more tedium auditory listening event, you're actually creating stimulation in your brain to improve your likelihood of focus, and then we calm from our focus.
I'm talking to Dr. Roland Rotz. He's a licensed child and adult psychologist, really a nationally recognized expert on ADD, ADHD. Find him at fidgettofocus.com. So fidgeting, can that really clear up an ADHD issue where you don't even need the medication?
I wouldn't go as far as to say that. I think for some folks who have mild ADHD, that's likely very true. And if they use this as a strategy to kind of supplement their ability to focus in more boring and tedious times, for somebody who's more seriously involved with their ADHD, it becomes one of the tools in their bank of tools that they use. So it depends upon the level of need.
Okay. Yeah. And if you don't fidget, what, for example, in your case, if you're restricted from fidgeting, do you notice an effect on yourself at that point?
I noticed that there's a greater chance that I'm, from my experience, I'm almost having to lean forward. I'm having to concentrate harder. I'm having to put a bigger effort into that paying attention notion. Or if I'm in a broader environment, let's say I'm listening to a lecture or something like that, I'm more easily attracted. Now, we use the word distraction a lot, but I'm more easily attracted to novel, stimulating events around me, like somebody scratching their head, somebody, you know, making a joke to a friend, whatever it might be. We happen to have, you know, this high alert, stimulus-seeking environment.
Yeah. So is it almost unnatural for people to really focus the way we're expected to nowadays?
Yeah. Unnatural in the sense that in those low arousal times when, like, for example, in school, we're told to sit still and pay attention. Well, a lot of our research says, no, that's a bad idea. Yeah, actually, you need to move in order to pay attention. So in certain environments where we're forced to sit still, I think it is one of those places where we would see a higher level of restlessness, tedium, and then fidgeting for those people who do that well. But there are lots of environments where it's naturally stimulating. There's a lot of businesses where, you know, there's a lot of activity going on, and people are using stand-up desks. They're walking around more. They're moving. They're talking in small groups. Mm-hmm. All of these things contribute to kind of a neural stimulation that allows them to focus better in their work.
Yeah, it's interesting that it both calms you and it also can stimulate you fidgeting, so it actually works two ways, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. Once your brain is getting what it needs, then it relaxes.
Hmm. Dr. Roland Rotz, find him at fidgettofocus.com, nationally recognized expert on ADD. And the fact that it's such a popular toy, this fidget spinner now, does that mean we have a larger societal problem with attention?
That's a great question, Mike. I think that it doesn't mean that. I think, number one, I think they're just absolutely entertaining. They're very fun. They're easy. They're portable. They're inexpensive. You know, there's no patent on it, so everybody can make them. You can even make them out of ice. That's what's amazing. They're easy to use. There's all kinds of reasons why they're there. But from that perspective of ADHD, I think about it like this. When I was really young, this dates me a little bit. I remember before TVs when we would listen to a radio, and I remember listening to the radio, Only the Shadow Knows. Well, that meant to me that I had to image that character, and I had to be able to hold that character in my mind, and so I created that stimulating environment in my head. Well, fast forward to today, last few generations, what happens? Well, we're getting really good at creating that image out in front of us.
Right.
So I don't have to do the work anymore.
It's feeding it to us. So you're actually saying, listen to radio as a healthier experience mentally than television, huh?
Boy, you just picked that one up. I think that's absolutely true. See, I think your challenge is, how do you keep it interesting, right? How do you keep people engaged and interested in what it is you're doing? And now in schools, we see kids often saying, I'm bored, I'm bored. Well, that doesn't mean they all have ADHD. It means that they aren't really very well trained in how to visualize, how to play, how to go outside and play. You know, it's all done for them on video games. So that becomes a bigger challenge. How do we create a bigger world where we're actually participating?
Well, it's tough if you haven't developed that skill as a young person to kind of generate that later in life, huh?
It is hard, but it's possible. There are lots of programs out there that actually train people in how to develop that skill. Yeah.
So you're saying turn off the TV and listen to the radio instead. That's part of the
as you're walking outside, as you're playing, as you're engaging in your environment.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
I got to ask you one last thing. Do you have any of these spinners yourself, Roland?
I actually do.
Mm-hmm.
And my favorite is one that I'll set to spin on my wood desktop while I'm working. So I'm actually not looking at it or touching it. I'm actually having that gentle vibration, background sound, which for me is the auditory stimulant that helps my visual process.
Yeah, interesting.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. In fact, I have a few myself, and I'm actually a fan. It's one of the reasons I reached out to you. I think it's a fascinating toy in a sense, but it does apparently have some kind of effect, I've noticed. So.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we're seeing it kind of banned in schools these days, and I think one of the important pieces of the puzzle is, how do you differentiate it between a toy and a fidget tool that can be used kind of in a classroom environment? And it needs some rules around it.
Yeah. Well, they need to make them quiet too, right? So they can
to absolutely be quiet.
Yeah.
You know, that becomes disruptive to the person next to you, or flashy or bright or colorful. All those things don't work, actually, from what you're looking for.
It's Dr. Roland Rotz. He is a nationally recognized expert on ADD. You can find him at fidgettofocus.com, and his book is Fidget to Focus. Dr. Rotz, it's been fantastic. Thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Appreciate talking to you, Mike.
And that wraps it up for us on this Friday evening. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michael Cohen, producer Solomon Martin. We will be right back here on Monday at 6 p.m. right here on 1320 WILS. Good night.